follow along, if you will, as I read in Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 23, and we're going to read down through verse 6 in chapter 3. It'll go quick. And it came about that he was passing through the grain fields on the Sabbath, as disciples began making their way along while picking the heads of grain. Okay, you get the idea. I don't know if you've seen grain fields. I was raised in the Midwest, and there's a lot of grain that grows, and it grows up pretty tall, and you have on the top, you have the heads of the grain, and you can literally walk through and just pick it and put it in a bag or whatever you have. You don't even have to bend over. So that's the picture. They're just sort of moving along through the grain fields, and they're picking the grain, and they're putting it in the basket. Now, obviously, they're doing this for a reason. They're hungry. So what they're planning on doing is they're planning on taking the grain, they're planning on going home, they're planning on making bread. Okay? So, here's what goes on. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "See here, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read of David when he was hungry and became hungry and his companions? How they entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priest? And he also gave it to those who were with him." And then, now look at this. "And he was saying to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." Mark that, it's important, we'll get back to it. "Consequently, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Now look at the second thing that happens, beginning in chapter 3, verse 1. "Now he entered into the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they were watching him to see if he would heal the man on the Sabbath, in order that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Rise and come forward.' And he said to them," talking about the Pharisees, the people around, "'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save a life or to kill?' But they all kept silent. Now after looking around at them, he became angry, grieved at the hardness of their heart. He said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored." Now look at verse 6. This is crazy, but look at it. Verse 6, "And the Pharisees went out and immediately began taking counsel with the Herodians," those are people who followed King Herod, "against him, as how they might destroy him." So, here's the picture. Jesus comes into town, and it's the Sabbath, and two things happen. They gather some grain, and he heals someone. And I want you to note that there was a conflict that arose because of one thing. Ready for this? The religious people had it wrong. Now, how many of you know that people who are just filled with religion almost always have it wrong? Can I get an amen? I mean, people who are just filled with religion, they've got religion, they go to church, they've got processes and protocols, they know how to do it. But listen, when it comes down to really understanding the heart of Jesus, religious people almost always get it wrong. Now, people in relationship, hello, will almost always get it right. But the religious people will almost always get it wrong. Look at what happened. So they come in, and Jesus made it just very clear point. He said, "Look, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Consequently, the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath." Here was the problem. It wasn't that Jesus healed somebody. It was when Jesus did it and how Jesus did it. They weren't so upset that a guy got healed. I don't guess they really cared one way or the other about that. It was that Jesus did it in a way that they didn't like it. And Jesus made a very clear point. Now listen, there's only two points. First was this. Man is always the focus of Jesus' ministry, not religion. People are always the focus of Jesus' ministry. It is not religion. Now, at this point, the Sabbath was really important to the Jews. I have right here 39 things that you could not do on the Sabbath in Jesus' day. 39 things. How many of you can memorize a list of 39 things? Let me ask you the next. How many of you can't memorize a list of 39 things? Right, yeah, that's right. Right. I can't even remember the speed limit on Krill, which I drive every day, right? It's got to catch up with me. And then I'm going to be in real trouble at home too. So, anyway, 39 things. Now, here's the other thing. All of these 39 things that were written out, there was this thing called scribal law. And the scribes then would take it, and the Pharisees would take it, and they would interpret these 39 things on how not to violate this. So, remember, they had this, and then they had stacks and stacks of laws and commentaries that they had to follow as well so as not to violate this. You get the picture? And so Jesus said, wait a minute, we've got some confusion here. You guys are really religious and all of this kind of thing, but here's the problem. You think that the Sabbath day is the primary thing, and man was created to honor the Sabbath. That isn't what I'm about. I'm about people. I'm about folk. I'm about those who are hurting and struggling. I'm not about religious rules and that kind of business. Now, over in James chapter 1, verse 27, you know, Jesus obviously taught this, and they could have understood if religion was that important and you really wanted to know what religion is all about. Look at what James 1:27 says. James 1:27 says, now this is pure religion and undefiled in the sight of God, that you visit the orphans and the widows in distress, and you keep yourself unstained from the world. So if you really are here today and you're wanting to know what true religion is all about, even true religion focuses on people. Even if you're here today and you're not really into a relationship with Jesus, you're not into the power of the Holy Spirit, you're not really into walking with God in fullness, and that's really not what you're wanting to check into, you're just wanting sort of a safe religion, okay, fair enough. Even religion, Scripture defines, is focused on people. It's not focused on its process, its protocols, it's not about that. How many of you know churches right now that are dying because they forgot that one simple truth? They forgot that one simple truth, that even religion, take away relationship with Jesus, it's about people. It's about loving and caring for people. So, Jesus went on over in the book of John, chapter 13, verse 34, he says this, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. So here's what Jesus said. Jesus is saying, I could say, people will know that you're my disciples, and I could have marked that anyway. Think about all the things you could have said. People will know you're my disciples if you keep the Sabbath, the 39 laws, and all the other associated things with the laws. I could do that, and that's what would identify you as a disciple. He didn't say that. You know what? Jesus could have said, you know what? Here's how everybody will know that you're my disciple. If you attend synagogue 7 days a week, Jesus could have said that. Jesus could have said, you know, here's the thing. All of you got to memorize the first 5 books of the Bible. That's how people will know that you're my disciple. How many of you glad he didn't say that? We should have people dancing a jig right now. You should be dancing a jig that Jesus didn't say, memorize the first 5 books of the Bible. How many of you would fail? Hello, that would be me. Right? He didn't say that. He could have said anything he wanted. But he said, here's how people will know that you're my disciples. If you love one another. It's not about the law. It's not about religion. It's about loving one another. You're saying, yeah, but Terry, my grandmother and my granddaddy, and this is how they did it, and this is what they were about, and they did church this way, and that's just how you have to do church. No, it's not. It's not. So you're saying, yeah, but Terry, where I went and the preacher I was raised under, they did it like this, and this is what it looked like, and this was the protocol, and this is how he preached, and you know, blah, 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 you need to do. No. Jesus didn't say that. You know what he said? He said, this is how people will know you follow me. Do you love people? Do you love people? Our church can be radically used by God if we will do one thing well. Love people. If we will love people well, God will settle in and do something that is amazing. Some of you sitting in this room right now are frustrated in your spiritual life. There's a deadness in your spiritual life. There's a deadness in your spirit. There's a deadness where you are. You're frustrated because you're not moving ahead. You're frustrated because life's throwing you curveballs. You're frustrated and you can't move ahead. And you're focusing on religion. What must I do? What must I not do? How must I talk? How must I not talk? When the reality is real simple. You ready? Begin to love people. You begin to love people, and you begin to align yourself with the very words of Jesus. And when you do that, power will come your way. Love people. Well, what kind of people? Those that are most unlovable. It's easy to love the lovable, right? How many? Isn't it easy to love your kids? Amen? I didn't say like them. I didn't say like them all the time. But isn't it sort of easy to love your kids? Isn't it? I would say it's easy to love your spouse, but I am not going down that road. Because sometimes that's just a commitment, right? And it comes later, right? Isn't it easy to love certain people? I mean, it's just easy to love. But there are some people, when they walk in the door, you're going, "Oh, God, I prayed you would translate them into heaven. I don't want you to kill them. You know, take them up in the fiery chariot thing. Do one of those jobs. Just get them to the different plane." Right? Now, there's people like that. Right? We have people like that. But if we want to be like Jesus, we have to love people. See, here was the problem. Here was the problem. Religious people always get mad. And they always get mad for a couple of reasons. Look at verses 5 and 6 back in Mark chapter 3. It says this, "Now after looking around at them with anger, grieved at their," at their hardness of heart. We'll look at that in a minute. "He said to them, stretch out your hand. And when he stretched out, his hand was restored. Now the Pharisees went out immediately and began taking counsel with the Herodians against Jesus and began plotting on how to kill him." The Pharisees had gotten something wrong. Back in verse 27, Jesus says, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath." Okay, think about this. I've talked to you before about the Platonic Triangle. It's a great philosophical illustration of how to think through life, things that are important and things that are not important. Okay? The Platonic Triangle. Platonic Triangle basically says this. In the bottom, the base of the triangle lists all the things that are important to you. Everything that is important. As you ascend the side of the triangle to the apex, you begin to deal away things of lesser importance. So when you get to the apex of the triangle, this is important, there's only room for one thing. There's only room. You can't have 5-1 things. You can't have 10-1 things. At the apex of the triangle, there's only room for one most important thing. Only one. You can't have 50. You can only have one. So, the Pharisees had taken the Sabbath and they had amplified it to most important when it comes to ministry. The Sabbath had become the apex of the triangle. Everything was subordinate to the Sabbath. There's only one problem with that. That's not God's way. Little problem. That's not God's plan. God's plan has always been about showing His love and redeeming humanity. That's always been His plan. It's about bringing people who are far away near to Him. That's always been His deal. But they got it confused. I want to ask you a question. What's at the apex of your triangle? The most important thing in your spiritual life? What is resting at that apex? Is it a style of worship? Is it the looks of a building? Is it the time of service? 10:30 to 11:30, and may there never be another minute. Can I get an amen? All right? Is it how people dress? Is that how people preach? What's at the apex of your triangle? Hey, look, I got to tell you, I'm not everybody's cup of tea. Obviously, there's a lot of churches with a lot of people in it. They're not all here. I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I get that. But I hope you're not here for me anyways. I hope there's something at the apex of your triangle a whole lot bigger than me, even though I'm getting bigger. All right? Okay, I'm on the temple expansion program. I want more of the Holy Spirit. If you don't, that's okay. Right? So you know, I mean, there's got to be something at the apex of your spiritual triangle bigger than here. May I suggest to you the words of Jesus? To love people. May I suggest to you what Jesus said? Love each other. This is how all men will know that you're my disciples. Did you carry a King James 1611 and it weighs 5 pounds? That everybody drives a Chevy? That everybody wears a tie? What did he say? This is how all men will know that you're my disciples. You want to be marked? You want your apex of your triangle to be clearly marked? Love people. That's what he said. Religious people get very angry and very upset because they confuse that. And because they confuse that, here's some things that happen. When what's most important to them is not most important to you, there's going to be problems within a church, within a fellowship. If what's most important to them isn't most important to you, you're going to have a problem. Now, for some people, the most important thing in the context of their spiritual life or church is sameness. They want everybody around them exactly like them. They want the same beliefs. They live out the same way. They walk the same way. They want sameness. I am so thankful Grace is a hodgepodge of people. I mean, we're sort of the mutt church, right? I mean, we're sort of the mutt church. I mean, we're a little bit of everything. Can I get an amen? And that is a good thing. I am thankful. I got to tell you about Friday night. This is so cool. We could, me and Renee were talking about it. And Chris and Keith was here. There's Keith. Keith was here. We had an ordination service here Friday night for the Charismatic Episcopal Church. Now, some of you didn't even know there was a Charismatic Episcopal denomination. I probably didn't until just a little while back. But the Charismatic Episcopal denomination had an ordination here of a friend of ours, a guy named Robert Massey. Some of you know Robert and Lisa. Dear friends of mine, friends of Renee's, friends of many people in our church. So they needed a bigger building, so they came here, and so we let them use Grace. I got to tell you, this building's been up for, Judy, 40 years? Longer? Yeah? 50 years? I promise you, the things that took place Friday night had never happened in this building before. I got to tell you, it was so cool. Now, it was 3 hours cool. You know what? There's three. I'm not kidding. There's panic on about four people's faces right now because they're going, is Terry going to do a 3-hour service? Yeah, I mean, they're just, no. My wife would divorce me, right? So I can't do 3-hour services. All right. So here's the deal. They came in. I mean, they had the altar area all set up and they had banners. And, well, Stephanie, you were raised Episcopal, so you would have got, okay, right. Yeah, but it was the same. It was same. I mean, it was the liturgy. Listen, are you ready for this? How many slides, Chris, were there? Everything they said was on a slide. Over 400 slides showing up there. And I mean, they went through every word. There was no, let's skip that and go to the end. There was none of that, right? And so they're going through this, and they come in. Now, these are charismatics. So they're Episcopals. They called it was a really cool word. They called it convergent worship, which I thought was an interesting phrase. I'd never heard that phrase. So it was very interesting. They called it convergent worship. So they had contemporary music, right? But they had all the liturgy of the Episcopal Church. So they came in, and I gotta tell you, they had the incense ball going. What is that thing called? I almost called it the beer ball, but it's not the beer ball. Right? I didn't know what it was. I mean, it was this big incense ball, right? I'm not kidding you, it was this big. And they lit it up outside, and they were rocking it outside, getting it going. They had this young man, very, very handsome, nice young man from Jamaica. He was from Jamaica. And he was a deacon in one of their churches, and he was the guy carrying the ball, right? And it was a big one. And I'm not joking. Listen, he was swinging that thing like nunchucks. I mean, he was rocking that deal, man, like nunchucks. He was working it, man. He was doing this and flipping it up. And I mean, and the incense was just filling the room. And it symbolized, you know, the coming of the Holy Spirit and being immersed in the presence of the Lord and all that business. So anyways, so they were doing all this stuff. And I'm not kidding. There was, okay, guys? There was a haze. I mean, you could have done a light show in here. I mean, I'm telling you, there was enough particles you could have shot lasers off of them. Bam, bam, bam. I mean, you could have done this light show in here. And it's filled up the room, and it smelled. Ah! It's incense. So about halfway through this thing, me, Renee, and Chris were back there, and Keith was thinking it through. We're like, now how are we going to explain this Sunday morning? Because there's no way this smell is going to be out of here by Sunday. So I got with Patrick. He turned on the fans, and we got most of it out. All of that, you're wondering where all that comes from with our sermon. Here's the deal. It's about people. People that are not like you. God says to love them. These were some of the most loving, sweet, wonderful people I'd ever been around. And in a normal day, in a normal life, we would never intersect. Our lives just wouldn't intersect. But here, they came. They filled the room with incense. And you know what? It was a wonderful experience. Now, I'm not signing up for another 3-hour service. Can I get an amen? Right? Neither are y'all, right? So, you know, I'm with that. But the Lord said to love people. And He didn't put riders on it. Love people except those. Love people except those. Love people except those. He said to love people. Well, religious people get mad and upset when what's most important to them are not most important to you. 50 years ago, Judy, maybe you and Paul could speak to this, but 50 years ago, that wouldn't have happened here. Wouldn't have happened here. Now, I'm going to tell you, some of you are going to get uncomfortable with this. They spoke in tongues. They prophesied. They're charismatic Episcopal. It was a wild thing. I'm just telling you. But you know what? It was a beautiful thing. Because you know what? It's not about me. And it's not about you. It's about loving people. And every one of those people came up to us, hugged our necks, and said, please tell Grace Fellowship thank you for allowing us to use their building. Said, we were so blessed by being here. So on behalf of the Charismatic Episcopal Church, thank you, Grace Fellowship. Right? Amen. Amen. It's about people. Second, religious people get mad when you don't align with their definition of most important, when the apex of your triangle is different than theirs. Second, they get angry because history is more important than impact. History is more important than impact. The people who got mad at Jesus because he healed on the Sabbath didn't care one thing about a crippled man who was struggling. They cared about their historical principles and their historical tradition being maintained. That's what they cared about. They didn't care about a poor crippled man getting healed. They cared about their history and their tradition. Religious people care more about their tradition than about impacting people. I'm so thankful that 2.5 years ago there were people sitting in this room before you guys were here. He said, you know what? Our history is done. But we want to make an impact. So Terry and 40, 50, 60 of us, not knowing what we were doing, here's a building, here's the property, here's a location. Go and make an impact. So I got to tell you, those were not religious people. Those were relational people. They knew and know the Lord. The Pharisees? Historical. Now, I need to say something else. Times are changing. Generations are changing. And here at Grace, we're going to continue to change. Some of our changes might make some of you uncomfortable. I pray you'll hang with us because of other people, not because of yourself, because we love other people. And I pray that you'll pray for us that we make the right decisions so we can bless other people in is not about ourselves. So I hope that you'll do that. Then finally, religious people get mad because control is more important than the mission of Jesus. Friedrich Nietzsche said that at the very heart of man, he's driven by the will to power. Nietzsche was an existentialist, a philosopher. And Nietzsche said that man is driven by the will to power. Most religious systems seek to control its people. The Sabbath day came down like this. It was the fourth commandment that the Lord wrote on the rock, and this is what it said. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. From that, we get 39 implications and reams of legal opinion on how those 39 things need to be lived out. From one statement, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. We try really hard here at Grace to keep the main thing, because we know in that triangle, we can only have one main thing. And it has to be about loving people with the gospel. It has to be about that. Nothing else gets to compete with that. And so, because of that, we depend on you to do a lot of ministry. This summer, just to give you a little heads up, we're going to be talking from often, not every Sunday, but often, about ministries and about trying to stir within you vision for ministries. Because as we grow in having organized ministries and missions within our church, we're able to do what? Love people more. Not committees. Not committees. Let me say that again. Not committees. We will not be doing committees. If you need committees, join the Kiwanis. Robin could sign you up. Oh yeah. We're talking about ministries. You know what the word ministry means? Cool word. It means to serve. We're talking about ways to serve people, to love people, to take the gospel to people, to focus on people. Jesus, with his followers, picked up some grain to eat because they were hungry. They were condemned. Jesus, on the Sabbath day, saw a man crippled and poor and in need, and he reached out in love and compassion and healed him, and they plotted to kill him. It's about loving people. And that's what we're going to do here. We're going to love people. And we're going to do that in profound ways as you as people begin to hear God speak to your hearts and how you want to do ministry to others. I'll close with this. Thank you for listening. I'm sorry I didn't go 3 hours, so everybody said amen. All right. I'll close with this. I was having a conversation with my son this morning. Where's my son? Oh, hey, son. Take your hat off in church. All right. Sorry. Being a dad. you don't have to. I was having a conversation with Carson this morning. We get to have some time together on Sunday morning. He gets up early like me. Go to breakfast and spend some time together. And he said something that, boy, as a dad, it does your heart good. He said, Dad, he said, you know what I think? He said, I think at Grace, if we could be a place where when people walked in the door, they could feel the love of God and they would know that they are loved. He said, if we could do something like that, he said, I think the church would go really far. I didn't tell them about my sermon today, right? And you know, my son has it right. That if we can become a place of radical, radical love, radical grace to hurting people, to the people, listen, that no one else wants. If we can become that place to the people that every other church throws away, that every other community rejects. If we could become that place for the people that nobody else would walk across the street to say hi to, guess what? I firmly believe that God will take grace and transform this area of our community. There is no doubt. The preaching isn't going to do it. The music's not going to do it. The remodel's not going to do it. Better parking's not going to do it. Answering all of your questions, not going to do it. But you, allowing the Holy Spirit to love others through you, will absolutely change our community. Listen to me. You are loved today. You are loved by your Heavenly Father. You are loved more profoundly than you ever understood. So allow Him to use you to love others. When we do that, things change. Amen? Pray with me if you will. It's possible that there's someone here today that doesn't know the Lord. That you've known about the Lord. I mean, you probably could answer some Jeopardy questions on God and all that. But you don't really have a relationship with the Lord. So right here where you sit, I'm going to ask you if maybe God's calling your heart and your life right now to repentance. God's calling you to join His family. So here's what you need to do right there where you sit. Just pray this. Just pray, "Hey Lord, it's me. Thank you for letting me pray. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you resurrected from the grave on the third day. And right now I surrender my heart and life to you as Savior and as Lord. Please forgive me of my sins as I surrender myself to you and declare you Lord of my life." Now if you prayed something like that for the first time today, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand. 1, 2, 3. Just right now, slip it up. Thank you. Slide it down. Anybody else? Okay. Here's what you need to do before you leave today. Take that. There's a tear-off card on your program. Fill that out. Drop it in the offering or drop it in one of those boxes and say you need to be baptized. We will call you. We will talk to you. We will explain it to you. We will make sure you're ready for that. And we will we can do it Sunday. Somebody said, how quick can I get baptized? As fast as you want to. As fast as it takes to fill that tub. We can baptize you. And we will. So please take that step. Second, how many here today would say, "Terry, just real honestly, I get the love thing, but I'm having a hard time loving others"? If that's you, I want to encourage you to ask the Lord to help you. Just ask the Lord right now to help you. Just say, "Lord, I'm having a hard time loving people. Help me love people." Matter of fact, name names. "Lord, I'm going to have a hard time loving Charlie or Susie or Fred or Mary, whatever it may be. Lord, help me love them because I know that's what you would call me to do." And then finally, I'm going to put this in front of you every Sunday of the summer. What ministry is God calling you perhaps to start, to develop, or to connect with? Because true spiritual growth comes when you're serving, when you're giving, when you're loving. So just ask the Lord to speak that to your heart. Well, Father, thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for those who said, most important thing, man, I have surrendered my heart to you, Jesus. I pray that I'll take that step at baptism. Lord, it's the first command we have as believers is to be baptized. So, Father, I pray that they'll take that step of obedience. Lord, for those who have been honest with you today, maybe the first time they've been really honest with you in prayer, that they're having a hard time loving people. Lord, I just pray that you would bless them and encourage them and grow them in their capacity to love. And then, Lord, we need those who will rise up and serve in some of the ministries we already have, but also will hear you afresh and anew to start a new and a fresh, different ministry. So, Lord, I pray that you would help them even today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Ushers, if you could come forward very quickly, please. Ryan, come on up. Ushers are coming forward to receive our morning tithes and offerings. Listen, let me just tell you something, guys. We give here for two reasons. Because Jesus is Lord, amen? And the gospel is the most important message in the world. That's why we give. We give for those two reasons. If you believe that, we invite you to give. If you're a guest, the only thing we ask of you is that little tear-off card. Please let us know who you are so we can pray for you. If you can't put it in the plate, put it in the box, okay? Let's pray. Father, bless these tithes and offerings. Use them, Lord, to advance the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. A couple of quick things. Campers, if you're going to camp with us, we will have a quick parent and camper meeting right down here following the service. I've got some information for you guys to kind of pass out, some things I need signed from you. We are going through this coming Wednesday night. Will be our last Wednesday before summertime. So Wednesday night we'll be kicking and still doing strong up in here with the adults going on. Youth will be upstairs doing their thing. We do have children's programs and stuff going on, so please make sure you join us. Your wife told me to tell your group that you guys were meeting, your home group was meeting tonight. Because we meet on the second and fourth Sunday nights, but the second was Mother's Day, the fourth was Memorial Day.
Right.
Yeah, so we had holidays for both of the small groups. So, Renee, I got you on that one. See, I didn't forget. Okay, cool.
Brian, I'm saved.
Yeah, you're saved. You're good. Also, if you've got a senior that's graduating, I said it in the beginning of the service, please make sure you come and see me so I get their name written down. We do have a gift for them. We're going to recognize our seniors next week, Sunday, in the service. So we want to make sure that we get their names and make sure that I've got all those down so I get enough gifts and all that fun stuff. Cool?
Great.
Cool.
Great.
Awesome.
Listen, thank you guys so much for coming today. Thank you for being a part of Grace. A couple of encouraging words for you. As you exit, there's somebody this week that God has perfectly put you together to reach with the gospel and with the love of Christ. There is somebody you're going to encounter that only you can reach. That should make you feel good. I mean, God's equipped you in such a way that there's somebody out there that needs to hear from you. I pray you'll do that. Second, if you need us, me, Ryan, or anything, please remember our phone numbers are on those programs every single week. Do not hesitate to call. So if you need us, call us. We're close as a phone call, so please always remember that. Okay, stay with me if you will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And elders, I will meet you in my office for about 15 minutes. Megan, where's Megan? Megan, she's supposed to step out. Okay, there's Megan. I need you for a minute. Then, hey, we'll see everybody Sunday. Let's pray together. Well, Lord, we love you. We thank you for today and your goodness. And now, Father, be with us as we go into the world. Lord, as your representatives, loving those Jesus that everybody else overlooks. Loving those that everyone else has forgotten. Loving those that everyone else has rejected. Father, help us to love those people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.